Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride with your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. We have a really great rapid-fire episode here for you today. We are going to do a rundown of the newest and biggest updates to all of your favorite tools. You know, this past month in June was ISTE, and a lot of these different companies kind of have their big unveiling during this time. And unless you're going to the Anywhere School for Google announcements or the Flipgrid Lives, or the Nearpod Pioneers unveil, unless you're going to each and every one of these events, you might miss out on some of these new features that are coming down the pipe for the 21-22 school year. So we're going to kind of narrow it down for you to kind of tell you some of our favorite updates, or maybe updates during this year that you may have missed. And we're also going to talk a little bit about some events that will be coming up this year as well, some face-to-face events that may be happening. And in fact, Kyle, you got to do a face-to-face event this past week. Can you tell me about it? Because it's been a long time since I've done a face-to-face PD.
Yeah, I went before people, actual human beings, and presented professional development this past week. So it was really kind of stressful in the beginning because, A, I was prepping all of the materials I needed for it, and I hadn't really done that in a while. So just getting everything together and then not really knowing how much information I had in there and how long it was going to take to really just make sure I either filled the time slot I had or have the, you know, possibility that I go over on material, whatever, and then B, getting in front of those people. So it was just really kind of strange. So yes, I went to Lake Elsinore Unified School District in Lake Elsinore, California. If you're unaware where that's at, it's kind of in between San Diego and like San Bernardino, Riverside, California, about halfway in between the two of those, maybe give or take. But I went down there before their elementary teachers and presented different things. I did a couple sessions on Canvas LMS, a beginners and an intermediate session. I did a session on Flipgrid, helping teachers learn about what it is and set up their accounts and kind of test it out a little bit. And then I did a session called the All You Can Eat Formative Assessment Buffet, where I talked about some different formative assessment tools like quizzes and Kahoot. And it was a lot of fun. It was a great way to just kind of ease back into professional development as a presenter again. So I'm looking forward to doing some more of those things, but still kind of at that like juncture of like, are we going to continue doing virtual? Are things going to be in person again? Not really sure. So right now in Las Vegas, we are back on full masks for everybody, including those that are vaccinated, because the caseloads are going through the roof here once again. So I can't stress enough that if you are not vaccinated, please go out and get your vaccination, because not only are you going to protect yourself, you're going to protect other people that are around you. So, and you know, only half joking when I'm saying this, if you're afraid of what you're putting in your body from a vaccination, if you've ever eaten fast food and you're afraid of the vaccination, that doesn't make any sense to me. So please, please, please go out and get your vaccination.
Yeah, and it's funny when you're talking about putting food in your body, right? Because, I've been saying, our body is our temple, and sometimes we treat it as a shanty. And we need to make sure that we're entering the school year in our best mind, in our best body, in our best spirit for the benefit of our students. Because we're going to be seeing students who may not have seen a classroom for over a year. Maybe they haven't really had too much contact with multiple people besides the individuals in their family. And so we need to be coming in with this understanding that we don't know what kind of environment our students have been coming from, especially in terms of classroom management. When you have students that are so used to waking up right before your class, wearing, whatever they, want to wear because it's their home, and then being able to, use the restroom whenever they want, to a more strict environment such as the classroom, you may get a little bit of, students that don't know how to act again. So coming into this new school year, we have to be our best us and focus on our students. But also, speaking of mind and body, Kyle, you were telling me before we hit the record button that you have the best have been having the best month ever on your fitness journey on your Peloton. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So after I moved into my new place back in mid-June, my daily walking streak ended. I was at like 220 days in a row on my walking. That ended when I moved in. So I was still getting a ton of steps in. I think one of the days I didn't even go on a walk and I still got close to 30,000 steps from all the moving that I was doing and whatnot. But, and then we have had some really funky weather here the last few weeks in Las Vegas. First, it was temperatures of upwards of 117 for like a week and a half straight. And then once that subsided, then it became rain. We have had rain every 24 to 36 hours for the last few weeks. So it's been kind of tough to get outside. And then even the times when it's not raining, now it's like 105 degrees with like 50% humidity. And it's really sticky and hot. And while I don't, it's not necessarily where I don't want to go outside because it's so hot and sticky. It's more like that could become dangerous when all of a sudden you're sweating. And then when it's really humid like that, that could take a toll on your body and just, it's not good for you to be like that. So I haven't been doing a lot of walking as a result of that, but I have been on my Peloton every day now for several days in a row. I believe like my daily streak right now is back up to, I think 35 or something like that. So I missed a couple days in the Peloton when we moved. And for the month of July, I am at, as of right now, today's the last day of July. So I haven't gotten on the bike yet today, but I have ridden 315 miles on the bike this month. So I'm averaging over 10 miles a day right now on that. And that's my best month since I got the Peloton. So I'm really happy about being able to pull that off. And then today I do plan to get on and do a short ride today. I'm also going to do some stretching and yoga today through the Peloton because my legs have been a little bit tight the last few days. And then I have a hockey game tomorrow night from the day that we're recording this, and loosen myself up to get ready to play some hockey. I haven't played that in a couple of weeks now. So, but yeah, so the fitness journey has been coming along pretty well. Weight loss is kind of stuck, but you know what? I feel good. I'm still exercising. I'm in great shape. My lung capacity is really good right now from all the working out. But before we go any further, Joe, you know, we're almost 8 minutes into this already, and maybe a first-time listener is like, who are these two clowns? So why don't we go ahead and introduce ourselves?
Yeah, you know, we get to talking sometimes like this, and we totally forget to do the introduction. So yeah, let's definitely do that. So I'm Joe Marquez. I am currently the Director of Academic Innovation for Q, a nonprofit educational organization out of California. I'm also a past eighth grade science teacher and educator out of the Central Valley of California. And if you so feel inclined, you can follow me on the Twitters at JoeMarquez70. And as always, my partner in innovation, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Indeed. So I am Kyle Anderson. I am a special education teacher in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am also the author of a blog, AndersonEdTech.net. You can find me on Twitter at AndersonEdTech. Same thing with Instagram. And then I'm also the author of a book titled To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking. That's on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and also through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing. So we'll circle back then. We're going to talk a little bit today about some of those updates that our favorite apps are pushing out there. And then I'm going to talk a little bit, I'm going to deep dive on some of those tools like Quizzes and GymKit and Kahoot and whatnot, and talk a little bit about their premium accounts that have been updated in the last year. So to start, I was doing these presentations for Lake Elsinore in the past week, and I opened up Google Slides, and first thing I always do when I open up a Google Slides document, I'm sure Joe, you do the same thing. First thing I do is I go straight to the edit master so I can make the background look the way I want it to look. I can turn the fonts into what I want them to look like, so on and so forth. So I go to the slide menu on Google Slides and I go to edit master, and I'm like, where did edit master go? So it's not there. And I'm like, did they take that away? That doesn't make any sense. Why would they take that away? But instead of taking it away, they actually renamed it. It is now edit theme. So if you are a Google Slides user and you're used to going in and editing that master slide, it is now called edit theme. I'm not sure when that update went through. Maybe it happened a couple months ago. I don't know, but I do know that. And this was on my personal account. So I went, when my personal account, I went in there and it was now called edit theme and not edit master. So if you haven't been in Google Slides for a little bit, open that up and take a look. You may or may not have that update at this point.
Yeah, and that's relatively new as well, because I was working on some slides this week on Tuesday and Wednesday, and that wasn't there. So it must have been super recent here in these last few days. But all of these updates, Kyle, really came out in Google's Anywhere School Forum that they had about a month ago. Maybe it was 2 months ago. I don't know. Time is relative at this point. But they came out with a lot of cool things as well. So you talked about Google Slides. I want to talk to you about Google Docs. So in Google Docs, you can now directly link files that are in your Google Drive directly into any Google Doc. You used to have to like grab the share link and then hyperlink it in. Now all you have to do is hit the plus button and start typing the name of your document, and boom, it'll put it right there. And when you hover over it, it's not just a link. It'll tell you what kind of file it is. It'll when you hover over it, it'll tell you who owns it, and then who else is collaborating on it. And if you want those collaborators to also be added to the current doc that you're working on. And you can just hit add collaborators and boom, everybody from that one document is now in this document. So that's pretty cool. When you tag a user directly in the doc, you used to only be able to tag a user in a comment. Now you can tag a user directly in the document itself. And when you tag that user, it'll ask, would you like this user to be a contributor to this document? So instead of going up to the share button, you can click yes. It'll say, how do you want them to contribute? Viewer, commenter, editor. It does all that right out of Google Doc. It's pretty awesome. You can create lists now in Google Docs, kind of like tasks, like the task option in Google or the list option in Google Keep. You can now create those right in Google Docs. And if you check mark it, it'll cross it off. So this means it's great to create kind of an agenda that you're doing with your class. And then you can have individuals assigned to that part of the agenda. And when they finish that, they can click it and it cancels it off. So it's a great way to checklist things as well. And here's one of my favorite things that was added. There's a new dynamic tool called the Activity Dashboard. And so this activity dashboard, when you click on it, it will tell you who is shared with this document, how often have they viewed it, what have they viewed, what comments have they left. And then also, if it's in your domain, viewers from your domain, it'll tell you who has viewed the document as a viewer. What part of the document are they spending most time on? So it's almost like web page analytics, but built right in to a Google document. I think it's super neat because there used to be an add-on in Google Docs called Doc Analytics. And you'd have to use this add-on and it would show you a pie chart. And I used to use this in class when my students had collaborative documents they were working on. It would show me which students spent the most time in the document. What were they doing with that most time? It was great for me to say, well, you two both worked on this, but Sally worked on it 90% of the time and you only spent 10% of the time. So you're going to get 10% of the grade. I think that's fair, right? I would be able to show those analytics. These are baked right into Google Docs now, and it's really great. I played around with them the other day and it really does show just who touches that document, who goes in, how did they touch it? What did they do to it? It's really great analytics. Have you seen those or played around with those at all, Kyle?
No, I haven't really seen too many of those at this point. And as you were talking about it, I just went into Google Drive and opened up a Google Doc to try to do the linking thing that you were just talking about by hitting plus and then starting to type the name of the file. And it has not come to my personal one yet. So as of right now, I do not have the access to do that in my personal account. I'm not sure about my school account if it's available in there yet. But the thing about these updates is that they don't necessarily all come out at one time. So they may start on July 25th and it may take a month or two for updates to hit all accounts. So if you're not seeing this yet, it doesn't mean that it's not there and it's not coming. It just hasn't hit your account yet. So I'm going to keep on trying that over the next few days just to kind of see if it's going to work and when it's going to work. Because I do like the idea of being able to link the documents directly versus trying to just grab the link and then opening the share settings, so on and so forth.
Well, also try the at symbol. The at symbol also works. So try the at symbol in your document and it may start working at that point. So the plus or the at symbol is how that goes through. But yeah, you're right. A lot of these things can be delayed depending on how your site administrator has releases set up.
So I did just try the at symbol and it's still not pulling up the documents, but something cool that did come up when I did it was there was different events that have the keyword that I typed in with it. So I could actually link the like a calendar event to that right in the document. So that part's kind of neat. So, but no, I still don't see the document thing that is there. So.
Yeah. So slow roll, but it's pretty cool. So some really great things that you can do if you're working with your PLC, your team, your staff, to really create these dynamic documents now. So pretty neat. And also last thing I want to talk about with Google, at the moment is Google Classroom. There's a huge amount of updates to Google Classroom that will be rolling down the pipe. And one of them is, this is everybody's favorite, add-ons. We love our add-ons in Google Docs. We love our add-ons in Google Slides. You can now have add-ons in your Google Classroom. So you can now link third-party applications like Quizzes or Flipgrid or Kahoot in there and assign them directly from your Google Classroom. Where previously you would have to go into that third party's website, it has to have a share to classroom option. This automatically will share it right out of Google Classroom. So that's pretty cool. Google Classroom also has student analytics coming out. So you can click on a student's name and it'll tell you, are they interacting with your posts? Are they reading your posts? Because at the moment, the only way you can tell if somebody's actually doing something is if they hit turn in. In Google Classroom. And through these student analytics, they call it student engagement analytics, you can see how much the student is engaging in the Google Classroom LMS on a daily basis. So I love that. Now here's a big one, Kyle. And this is huge because I did this all the time in my classroom, but there was no easy way to do it. A lot of times you're working on a physical project in class, a drawing, a work thing that you're doing with teams, or you know, a jigsaw assignment, something, and you would have the kids try and take a picture, but there was no easy way to get it into Google Docs. You take it with your cell phone and then have to email it to you, or it was a hinderous way of doing this. But now Google Classroom app will now have an option for a camera scanner built right into it, so you can click attach. It'll say, how do you want to attach? And it'll give the normal things, attach link, attach file, then attach from camera. You can click it, you hover over just like all the other camera scanners, and it'll pull the text or it'll grab the document and upload to Google Classroom. I'm super excited that that is now baked in to the classroom infrastructure. And then finally, there's a better dynamic text options in Google Classroom. You can bold and italicize and underline and use bullet points, but it's only a one-tier bullet point. You can't have a bullet point and then tab over and another bullet point. It's only a one-tier bullet point. So it's not really that great of text. You can't change fonts or anything, but it's better than we had before. I still like adding emojis to emphasize things in Google Classroom. So if you're wondering on how to add an emoji to your Google Classroom, just go on to our YouTube page, sonsoftechnology.com, and you'll be able to just take a look at adding emojis to Google Classroom, a great way to utilize iconography in your writings.
Yeah, good updates, because I'm not a Google Classroom user anymore because my district is a Canvas district. So that analytics piece is very nice, though, because that's something that's been in Canvas for a while. So I can go in and see that this student, the last time they logged in, and that they're not really interacting with the stuff that's in there. So it's a nice piece to have when communicating with parents. When a parent asks, why is my child not doing well in your class right now? I can use that information and say, well, they haven't logged in 4 days. And when they do log in, they're only logging in for a few minutes and they're not really interacting with the material there. So I'm not sure how detailed that analytics is in Google Classroom, but it's better than nothing for sure right now. And then the camera aspect in the app, that's really nice too, because I know in the past where, yeah, you're working on something physically, writing on a piece of paper, and the best we could really do was hold your paper up to your Chromebook webcam and take a picture. And it was just really cumbersome to do it. If that kid wanted to do it with their cell phone instead, take the picture, then have to upload it into their computer from, like, either download it from Google Photos, or if they don't have Google Photos, have to upload it from their iPhone, whatever it was. Yeah, it was very cumbersome to do that. So that's a nice little update as well.
Yeah, and the very last thing from Google, because I said that was getting last, but I lied. This is the very last thing I want to update from Google, and it's Jamboard. In the past 6 months or so, they've added a couple small little updates to it, but it really is powerful for the classroom. One is you can add a different background to every jam or every board within your single Jamboard. That means you could have multiple activities in there that they have to write in. So that's pretty cool. It's not just one background for all of them. It's each individual one can have its own individual background. I love it. But one of my favorite things that they brought back to Jamboard that they got rid of for a while is revision history. And I'll tell you why I like this. Not so I can see students working and what they did in the past or if somebody messed it up, who did that, not that. What I like is I like to have multiple problem sets happening at the same time in my Jamboard. So I would hand a Jamboard out to my class and say, okay, show me visually what 2 + 2 is. And they would go in and they would draw 2 + 2. And then you would say, okay, erase that or clear that. And you're not sure if they did that or not. You need to be ready for the next problem. You want them to wipe their whiteboard. And so what I do is when I'm done creating my template that I'm going to hand out to my students, I save that revision history as reset or reset wipe. And so once the students are done with the particular activity, I go to revision history and select restore to reset wipe. And it wipes the entire thing back to square one. And it just makes it easier to do a clear board for everybody. And I know everybody's starting on the same page. And again, some people may be saying, well, they can just hit clear board or clear frame. Yes, but what if you're bringing in little tools? I know Lisa Nowakowski loves to build 360 math or math reps into Jamboard. And that means she has to bring in the little number 10 stacks and single stacks like you do in the math class. If you hit clear board, those go away. So that's why I love that reset on the Jamboard. So you did a couple cool things with, you talked about Kahoot and quizzes. Can you talk a little bit about that, of what they have going on?
Yeah, so this may not necessarily be updates by any means recently, but I know in the last year, a lot of our favorite tools out there like Kahoot, like quizzes, I know a lot of teachers that like Formative. I've never really used it before outside of diving into it for professional development purposes, but a lot of these tools have been updated significantly in the last year, really to address the concerns of distance learning and whatnot. So I was doing a deep dive on these a little bit in preparation for some the presentations I was doing with Lake Elsinore and then eventually with my district as well. And I was starting to realize that all of our favorite tools now, they have free versions like they always have, with the exception of GimKit. That is a 100% paid model now, unless you want to go to the bare bones version for free, which I'll get into here momentarily. So that tool is definitely changing a lot. But all of these tools now have a paid version that have more things that you can do with it, extra features and whatnot. So I wanted to do a little bit of dive on a few of these here as well, because again, not necessarily updates recently, like we're trying to focus on here, but things that maybe you didn't realize happened with those tools over the last few months, or you just want to know a little bit more about what those premium versions are. So I'm going to start with quizzes because that's my absolute favorite one. And out of all these tools, this is the one that I will be paying for the premium version for, because there's a lot of great features there. So now with quizzes, if you've used it before, you know that the different question types that are in there, you've got your multiple choice type questions. You can do true false type questions that are in there. So you have no limit on how many games you can create. And then there's also quizzes lessons that's in there as well, where you can build slide decks in quizzes and then incorporate some of these questions. So I like to, when people ask about quizzes lessons, I like to say that it's kind of like a pared down version of either Nearpod or Pear Deck, where you can do a lot of the same things, building slide decks and incorporating questions and whatnot. Just it's not nearly as robust, especially with the analytics and different things like you have with Nearpod or quizzes. So that free version also has access to the public library quizzes and lessons. So when you create one, I believe it defaults to going public to where a person could search for, if you do a quizzes on math facts or something like that, if someone goes into the library and types in math facts, your quiz could show up. So you actually have to turn it off and make it private if you don't want people to be able to search it. So in the free version, you've got all that. Quizzes has a premium version now that's called Quizzes Super. And there's a lot of cool things that you have in there. First of all, it's ad-free, where any website anymore, in order to pay the bills, they've got ads along the side. So, and Quizzes is definitely one of those. So, but you can go ad-free when you pay for the super version of it. So another thing you can do, there is something in there called answer explanation. So when you've got a question that you put in Quizzes, maybe it's a multiple choice, maybe it's true, false, whatever it is, you have the option in the super version to where you can put an explanation in for the correct answer. So that way, if the student gets the incorrect answer, they can you can have the answer explanation come up. This is why this answer was the correct version. This is where your thinking was a little bit off at that point. So that's really cool. You can also add audio and video in Quizzes Super, which is really nice. So if you've got, especially in lessons, that's where you could really start going off with some audio and video. That's really nice. There are pre-made premium quizzes and lessons. So if a person in that library has the super account and they create a lesson or a quiz that has audio and video and some of the different question types that are out there, that way you can't access those. You can't use that if you're on the free version. But now in that lesson library, you can use the premium quizzes and lessons. So you can also, with the lesson library, you can go in, find a lesson, you can find a quiz, and then you can go in and make a copy of it to start creating your own. With a super account, you don't have to make the copy. You can just go in, look at a public quiz, and then if you don't like one of the questions, you can just edit it for yourself. So it's not going to change the original one. So there's a lot of different things you can do with that Quizzes Super. So, and I'm really excited, especially about the audio and video, and why I personally am going to pay for a premium account. So now typically it is $96 a year for this super account, which, you know, do the math on that. It works out to where it's not too bad of a deal over the course of the year. So, but right now they are offering for $75, not just a year, they're actually offering 15 months to where you can get everything here for $75. So, I mean, that works out. That's $5 a month if you go on and buy it right now versus the $96 for a year. So now, unfortunately, they do not have a free trial like a lot of tools do. A lot of tools will give you like a 7-day or maybe even a 30-day free trial. They do not have that for the Quizzes Super. But if you go to quizzes.com and click on the Super, it does a great job of going into details about what you get with that Super account to help you make that decision whether that $75 for 15 months is worth it. But just again, personal opinion, I'm going to do it. I highly recommend it if you're a Quizzes user. So that's a great update though over the last few months though.
But you know, I'll tell you that I have the Quizzes Super and I love their lesson template. It is in beta, by the way, because there are some glitches that happen along the way. And mainly the glitches happen from the presenter's point of view. I haven't experienced anybody that participated in them saying that there's a glitch. So it's just in like the teacher dashboard that there's a little bit of a glitch. Now, let me tell you why I like it. So I wanted to do a virtual trivia night for Spring Q back in March. And we also wanted to do a virtual trivia night for LDI for Q, which is our Leadership Institute for Q leaders. And when I was looking online for programs that would do trivia to the capacity that I wanted with audio and video clues and that kind of stuff, they wanted like $200-$300 for a one-time use. And I'm like, well, that's too much money, right? And so I go, I'm going to try this lessons if I can build it. So I built an 80s trivia game with audio clues, video clues, all these different things, and it worked great. And I tell you, it was basically flawless all the way through. And you know, Kyle, when you kind of said it's like a pared down version of Nearpod or Pear Deck, it's really a different aspect, right? It's gamified. Nearpod isn't gamified. Nearpod is, I'm going to present, I'm going to check for understanding. I'm going to present, I'm going to check for understanding. Quizzes, it's still gamified because it gives you points and then builds those points. And after each one, it can say who's in the lead. So it's kind of a different experience. So I do think that there are places where you're still going to want to use Nearpod to present in class, and then times you're going to want to gamify it a little bit more and then use quizzes. But everything that you said, I agree with. Out of all these tools, I think quizzes is one that I would, and I do, purchase the year license for.
Yeah. So, and then you've also got the ability to do individual games and team games in there, yes, as well. So that's always a lot of fun, especially when if you have the ability, if you're back in person, you can get the students sitting with one another, if they're on a team, to work together on that as well. So,
and it also has one of the best Google Classroom integrations of any of these tools that I know about. If you are looking to port a score over into Google Classroom, quizzes will automatically do that for you. Now, I personally only do it for engagement. I don't do it for a score, but if you are looking to do it for a score, it'll port right over to Google Classroom seamlessly.
Yeah. So, and then another tool that there's a lot of different things that has happened in the last year, a tool that many people have used is Kahoot. So whenever I ask, have you ever used Kahoot? If I ask a room of 30 people, 29 people are putting their hand up. So Kahoot's one that it's been around for quite a while. And with the free version, it's not much different than it always was. So you go in there, you create multiple choice or true false type questions. They do have the ability now where you can put in a slide question. When I say question, I put up the air quotes on that one. So it's not a question. It's more of just kind of an informational thing. So I would like to use it as kind of a setup for the next question if you're going to do the slides on that one. So, and then you also have the ability to do the student pace challenges. You can either do a live game or do a student pace one, much like you would do with quizzes. You can do the live game or assign the homework is what they call it in quizzes. And then with that free version, you can do up to 100 players in that Kahoot game. So, but Kahoot now has not one, not two, but they've got three different premium versions that are out there for varying prices. So you can do a 7-day trial on any of these things to try them out. So what you get is you've got three different ones. You've got Kahoot Pro, you've got Kahoot Premium, and you've got Kahoot Premium Plus. So with Pro, you're getting a bunch of different question types. Instead of just multiple choice, true, false, you can do polls, you can do puzzles, you can do multiple select questions. And then when you're building them, you also have access to their premium image library. So it's always good practice to throw an image on with your questions. Under the free version, you have to have the images downloaded and then upload them into Kahoot. But with the premium image library, you can go and search for them right in Kahoot and then add them to your questions. And then you also can do up to 200 players under the pro version. And that's $36 for the year. Now, if you want to go to the premium, that actually gives you type answer questions. So just another version of a question that you can do where the students would have to type out the answer to their question. And then you can do up to 500 players on that version. So, and that one is $72 for the year. So then there is Premium Plus. This one allows you to build lesson plans within Kahoot. You have what are called teacher groups where you can basically have access to these groups of Kahoots that teachers have put out there. And then you can do up to 2,000 players per game on that one. So this is when you're at like a school assembly and so, all right, kids, take your phones out. Let's play Kahoot. So, and the whole assembly is playing it. So now with this one, I believe it's normally $96 for the year for the Premium Plus. If you were listening to this the day we record, which is July 31st, 2021, if you hear this and go run right now, you can get the Premium Plus version for $72.36 for the next year. So only 36 more than just the straight premium. So if you already have Kahoot Pro or something like that, want to upgrade, go on today. You can get the top dog version of Kahoot for the same price pretty much as the premium. So you get those handful of other things. So now I used to use Kahoot I don't use it as much anymore outside of more of just like fun review or icebreaker kind of stuff anymore, because the thing I don't like about it is that you have to have the game on the screen and then students answer on their devices. Whereas the other ones that I like quizzes, everything is on the student's game. It's more at their pace. Whereas you've got the 30-second countdown on a Kahoot question. If the student doesn't answer it, moving on, sorry for your bad luck kind of deal. But Kahoot still has its place and I still do enjoy it, but I just like quizzes a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, I would always use Kahoots for any quiz, any quick review of 10 questions or less. Anything more than that, I would use quizzes because for that exact same reason. And then we'll get to GimKit next, but I wanted to mention this because this is coming out on Monday. So if you're listening to this on Saturday, the 31st of July, then on Monday, August 2nd, Nearpod is releasing two brand new features that I've been playing around with, and they are really great additions to the Nearpod arsenal. One of them is you can have a teacher-paced lesson. Okay, that's called Nearpod Live, when the teacher's having driving the lesson and moving the slides forward. At any time, you can click to switch it to student paced. So you can click that button and then it goes into a student paced. And you can say, for the next five slides, I want the students to be able to advance their own slide deck. And so then they can go through it. And then you can then go back and say, turn it off, and you're back into that teacher driver's seat. I like that because if you know the next five slides are going to be difficult, you might want the students to be able to read them and do a first look at them at their own pace for like 5 or 10 minutes. And so you can go, okay, I'm going to turn this into student pace. I want you to go through these next five slides. I want you to get ready with your questions or get ready with whatever. You're going to get 10 minutes to do this. And then you can click back to that original slide you were on, back to teacher pace, and then go through it with them. And so you're kind of preloading for them what to expect. I like it a lot. And I'm really excited to see how teachers now change up how they create these lessons to create spots of student-paced activities within their teacher-paced lessons. I'm really excited to see how teachers do that. And then another feature, and then Pear Deck users are probably going to say, we've been doing this forever. There's a drag and drop feature now. And so drag and drop isn't like just a specific place where you can drag things. You can actually have a map. Let's say you have a map of the United States, and you can put all the names of all the 50 capitals off to the side, and they have to drag the correct name over the correct state. You can have images that are dragged on top of other images. And so you can have a face. Remember those old faces that you have to like draw magnets over, and you can give them a beard and hair and stuff like that? You can put just a generic face and put a whole bunch of different facial features and have the students drag it over and build their own face that way. There's a lot of different ways that you can use this drag and drop. I would even call it drag and build, because you can create these things where they build things on top. It's really neat. I played with it for the past few days. And again, I'm super excited to see how teachers use this and hack this to make a different experience than what Nearpod thought about. And then also this year, you may have missed it, Nearpod came out with an instant whiteboard. So at any moment, you can click whiteboard to model something, and that'll be modeled on the student's devices. And then you can annotate on any slide that you brought in to emphasize things. So circle and underline and that kind of stuff. So Nearpod's adding a lot of cool things for lesson dynamics. So really excited about that. And again, this all drops on Monday, August 2nd. Caveat, it's only available to gold subscribers and above. Silver subscribers are the free version of Nearpod. It's not available to the free version of Nearpod. Only gold and above.
So you are correct. That is something that has been in Pear Deck for a while. So I know that I was in a session one time where the session leader was presenting in Pear Deck and put up on the screen and then different icons on there and asked the people in the audience together build a smiley face, and you've got 2 minutes in order to do this. So everybody was able to grab their little icons on their screen, and then they presented the overall screen with everybody's icons on it. And then together we had to build a smiley face out of the icons. So that was something that was kind of fun. And then for the student pace mode that's updating in Nearpod, that is also something that Paradex had for a while, where you can be in teacher mode presenting slides and then switch over to student pace in the middle of the lesson and have the students work that way and then switch back as well. So good to see that Nearpod is now adding that as well. Now, speaking of Paradex, they have an update that came out this summer called Reflect and Review. So about a year ago, I believe it was, there was a teacher feedback feature that was added in Paradex to where a teacher could go in and add feedback on a student response in Paradex. So Reflect and Review adds onto that ability for feedback, whereas previously in the teacher dashboard, you would see all the student responses, but you would see them grouped by slide. So like on slide number 2, it was a multiple choice question. You would see all the student responses for that slide alone. With Reflect and Review, you can click on a student's name and then you review, you can see all of their responses to the different questions within the deck individually versus seeing just one question with all the students' responses on it. And then you can start adding your feedback in there and then provide the students with that feedback. So then the students can go back, look at all of their responses and then any feedback that the teacher was able to give during that time. So now I have not been able to toy around with this yet. I have not used Paradex with students now in a few months because, well, we've been on summer break. So this was something that came out back in June. So, but it is something that my co-teacher and I, that I'll be working 5 classes with this year, we used Paradex extensively last year. That's not going to change. This is something I definitely look forward to trying out this year with this new Reflect and Review.
Yeah, I love competition between these companies and all the companies because it breeds innovation, right? And when one company does something, the other company tries to top that. I love it because the only winners in this are teachers and students. So yeah, keep that competition up, Paradex and Nearpod. Keep that competition up, Kahoot and Quizzes, because we absolutely love it. Now, there's one tool out there that everybody knows, and we didn't start the episode off with this because everybody probably expected this, but Flipgrid. So Flipgrid Live, which is where they unveil all the new features coming out in this next year, which happened at the end of June, listed a few things that I think you're going to be pretty excited about. One of them is you can add music now. So if you do a recording or you're doing a visual, you can record it without sound. And then when you're getting your video ready, you can add music into that video from a library of music that they're going to allow you to have. Pretty awesome. It allows you to have backgrounds. So I'm going to show you here. Here is, now I can't show you the actual background database or graphical user interface, but I do want to show you how easy it is. It's going to be to add a background to quizzes. It's going to be a button and you can do this. Instantly have a background in your quizzes. Oh, sorry, in your Flipgrid. Super easy, and it can be switched back and forth on your background. And they're also adding Flipgrid lenses. Now, Flipgrid lenses, don't think of it as a filter because they already have filters. Lenses are, you're going to be able to bring different things over you. Think of Snapchat. It's going to be just like that. So you're going to be able to, at a push of a button, have like a Einstein head right over your body. You're going to be able to have like, you know, you can do Randy Savage, you know, you can be at instantly be another person. So you can, if you're talking about outer space, you can instantly be in outer space. So the great thing about this is all going to be baked in to the Flipgrid platform, utilizing the social media-esque tools they're already using in all of their other video platforms, but bringing it in to the educational platform that is Flipgrid. So I'm super excited about this. These are the tools that were unveiled at Flipgrid Live. So this isn't something super secret that only I know about. It's out there in the ether. So definitely, definitely, definitely go in there and check that out. Now, Kyle, I've been waiting to hear a little bit about GimKit, right? And I'll tell you, I haven't used GimKit very much because of the limited free version that it has. The last time I tried GimKit, I think it only allowed me to have like three players at a time. And I'm like, I can't demo with three players with 50 people in the room. But so tell me, what is coming out with GimKit?
So these are things that are already there. So GimKit, when I first started using it, didn't really have too many limits on it. It was a great little tool that was created by a high school student because he wanted a better version of Kahoot, essentially. So even when you go into GimKit and you see kind of the fonts and the way students enter the game, it almost looks like Kahoot a little bit. So, but to this day, it is a company that is run by four people. That they are the marketing, they are the financial officers, they are the coders. It is four people running this company. So when they went to a paid model, I wasn't 100% surprised by that because, again, they're not a publicly traded company. So the money that they have to make in order to basically keep the lights on is done by four people. It's not a huge company that's pulling in investor kind of money and whatnot. So if you've never used GimKit before, it is another one of those quiz type games where instead of earning points, you earn money in the game. And then that money can be used not just to outdo somebody else, but you can actually spend that money in the game on what are called power-ups, ways to help boost your money in order to pull past your competition in the game. Or you can actually use it to hinder your opponents as well. Like one of my favorite ones is that a person can get the power up that will blur another person's screen. So for 10 seconds, I believe it is, you can use that power up on somebody and it blurs their screen so they can't see what's going on and answer questions. So that allows the ability to move past them. So, but it's a lot of fun. Now, with the free version now, you can only do a game with up to five players. So at this point, you're not using this with a class. Because that is so limiting. So you can create unlimited kits, they call them games, and you can edit all your kits, no problem at all with the free version. But when you go on and sign up for an account now, it actually just defaults to a free 30-day trial of the premium account. It's not even just giving you the free version. So basically what they're trying to do is tell you, this is our free version or our premium version. It is $59.88 a year. We know you're going to love it. So after 30 days, pay for it and it's going to be awesome. So if not, you're going to default down to that free version that doesn't give you much at all. So with that premium version, what it does, it gives you access to obviously playing a game with more kids, more students. It gives you access to GimKit Live, which are like your traditional games. And there's a lot of different game modes in there. So there's just the traditional one where here's the questions, answer them. There's a lot of different game versions out there. You can assign it for asynchronous learning where students can do it on their own. There's no ads with the premium version. And then there's a new thing in there called GimKit Inc., which is basically a version of GimKit where students can do writing and then do peer review and editing with one another on it. So I haven't toyed around with the GimKit Inc. yet, but I thought that sounded kind of cool where I don't know if it's necessarily a gamified version of peer review or anything, but I just thought it was kind of a cool little wrinkle that you don't see real often where instead of just doing multiple choice or fill in the blank or true false type questions where students can actually do writing and then connect with one another through the platform to become better writers as well. So that is called GimKit Pro. And again, if you are going to use GimKit, I mean, this is definitely the way to go. $60 essentially for the year, so $5 a month. Yeah, the free version, and this is not passing any judgment on GimKit as a company or anything. The free version is absolute garbage, so I'm just going to say it. But again, you're talking about a company that's four people just trying to keep the lights on and keep their product relevant, and it's not necessary for them to make money. So I do get frustrated sometimes when, especially on social media, when you just see people bashing a company because they went to a paid version of their tool or whatever. This was something I remember a couple of years ago with Padlet when they went to a paid version and everybody just started ripping that company. So it's like if it's worthwhile and the features are worth it, then I will gladly pay for it. So, and then GimKit again, it's something I would pay for because again, the free version is not good, but it's also a small company that you're supporting.
Well, and you have to tell the story of how GymKit was founded. It was founded in the Seattle area of Washington by a senior in high school as his senior project. And he played it for his class and everybody loved it. He decided to turn that into a company. So you have to also applaud how it was created as a project in school. So that in itself is a great reason to support this company. So last thing, we're on the last thing that I have, Kyle, and you kind of gave me a segue into it. Padlet. Padlet has become one of my favorite tools. And, you know, when you talked about Padlet's model before was unlimited Padlets, but limited features. And then they switched that to unlimited features, limited Padlets. So now you can only have like 3 or 5 Padlets at a time, but you get all the features. And I think that is still great if you're just looking at the free version, because you can delete a Padlet, you can archive a Padlet, you can clear a Padlet and reuse it. So if you're not looking to save it constantly, you're good to go here. But I'll tell you this, in the last 6 months, the user interface of Padlet has dramatically looked better. And like before, if you wanted to use their video feature, you had to install a Padlet extension into your Chrome browser. Now it's all baked into the actual program. And I like Padlet because it offers every single answer style you would want to offer your students. When you ask students a question and all they have option to do is give you text, that's not enough. If all you're giving them is the option to record a video, that could be daunting to the student. Padlet allows you to respond in text, in voice, in video, in drawing, in meme, in image, in you name it. Every single answer modality is in Padlet. That's why I love it, because you may have students who can best convey an answer through recording their voice or recording a video. Others may be too shy, and so they best can do it just voice, or they best can do it just through text, or they can best do it visually. Padlet gives you that opportunity. And so I don't know how many of these features are brand new, because I was kind of like you. I stopped using Padlet for a while, but I went back to revisit it. And I'm like, wow, they've really done a great job with this interface and with the tools. And it really fits in line with accessibility, student voice, and student choice. And so I really, really, really love Padlet for that specific reason.
And while not nearly as feature proficient, Jamboard is an option too. So if you don't want to pay for the unlimited plan with Padlet, but you want to do something very similar, you could always use Google Jamboard, but again, you are limited on what you can do. So this is another example of, if the premium features are good, then paying for the premium version is definitely worth it. So I do not have a premium version of Padlet. I don't use it often enough to justify it. So,
well, like, remember that the features, all the features are free. There's no payment. You just limit it to 3 right. active Padlets at a time. So correct. there's a way around it, right?
Yeah. So in my Padlet account right now, I actually don't have any Padlets. So I still have access to all 3 of mine. So if I go in and create one right now I'm down to 2 other ones. And like you said, it could be something where I'm just using it for a session. Here's some ideas or whatever. So if it's something that you want all of the responses on the Padlet to be something somebody can access down the road, yes, you're going to want to hold on to that Padlet. Don't delete it or whatever. But a lot of times a Padlet, you might just need it for half hour to an hour or something correct. Like that. And then you can just archive it and move onward. So now with it, with an archive, I'm assuming you could make that active again down the road if you wanted to.
Possibly. I've never tried, but that's a good thing to kind of fiddle around with and see if that's possible.
So, okay, great.
And one more thing, speaking of archiving things, I know you're a Wakelet fan, Kyle. And so you could do a lot of this in Wakelet by people, you know, a collaborative Wakelet, people bringing things in if you wanted to. But there was one thing that I heard a lot of teachers say is, I love my kids making a Wakelet, but there's really no way for me to view their Wakelet unless they share their Wakelet with me or they make it public. Now Wakelet allows you to have student accounts. and they will connect to a singular class so you can view all the wakelets. And also in the wakelets, they can people who are viewing it can react to the wakelet itself or the collections within the wakelet. And you can also have templates in Wakelet. So you don't have to start from scratch. You can go there. So Wakelet's doing a lot of cool things for the classroom that I think really needs as well.
Yeah, I definitely am a fan of Wakelet. I haven't used that feature yet, but I've actually gotten away with some of my presentations for professional development from using something like Google Slides or PowerPoint and started using Wakelet collections instead. So for example, my all-you-can-eat formative assessment buffet presentation I did earlier this week, I did versions of games to show what it's like as a student where in my session, we played the games. We played quizzes. We played Kahoot. We tried to play GimKit, but GimKit servers were down when I tried to start the game. So unfortunately, we weren't able to play GimKit. But instead of doing a slide deck to go with all those, I threw together a Wakelet collection and put the links to each of the tools with the how to create the account and the different features between the free and the paid versions. And then I was able to upload a Microsoft Excel document that where I basically made a chart with each of the tools, what their paid plans were named, if they had a free trial, the prices, and then like a comparison of the free and the paid features. I put that right into Wakelet and then shared that out as a link for the presentation versus doing a slide deck, which I seem to have gotten good feedback on doing that instead of a slide deck. So, but I don't know.
No, I mean, that's good. I like the way that, you know, that presentations are evolving, right? Not just slide deck, but resources. And then you're doing things in real time. That's pretty awesome. You know, that's all the new things that I have in my notes that I have discovered. Listeners, if you know of any tools that we missed that did some pretty big updates during their ISTE announcements or their back to school announcements, please, please, please hit us up, Kyle or myself, on our Twitter handles or on our Sons of Technology Twitter handle at Sons of Tech EDU, and let us know what we missed, and we can always bring it back as a redo on a future episode.
Yeah, and there's a few things that are coming out here pretty soon too that you and I know about, but we're actually not allowed to talk about yet because of non-disclosure agreements that we have as Flipgrid ambassadors, as Google trainers, so on and so forth. So there's a few things that are coming in the next few days and weeks and whatnot that you're going to be surprised by because, like I said, Joe, you and I know about these things, but because of NDAs, we're not allowed to talk about them yet. So stay tuned for some of those things that are going to be popping soon too.
And in preparation of this episode, I had to actually do some searches to make sure what I knew, was it something that I learned from the NDA or I learned from Revelation? So I had to double check. So everything we talked about is public knowledge off of websites and reviews. And there are lots of things that we know about, but can't say it, right? Because
There's a huge one for Flipgrid coming out in a few days that I had to bite my tongue when we were talking about Flipgrid a few minutes ago. I'm like, no, that's an NDA. Don't say it.
No, and it's pretty cool. And you're really gonna really flip over these things, you know, so to speak. Now, Kyle, before we leave, to all of you listeners that bared with us all the way to the end, you'll notice we have new EdTech Army shirts. So if you love the podcast and you want to showcase that you are a member of the EdTech Army, which are teachers that are bettering themselves for their students, engaging their students, becoming innovative educators, taking risks in the classroom, trying new things, you are a member of the EdTech Army. And if you'd like to show that, please reach out to us on Twitter so that we can hook you up with the shirt. And also, if you would like a sticker pack, like a Bite Club sticker or the new EdTech Army stickers that we just got in, right? These are only a tweet away. All you have to do is a tweet at us and say that you listened to the episode and you'd like a sticker pack, then DM us your address and we will get some of these stickers right to your door so that you can proclaim that you are a listener and member of the EdTech Army Bite Club.
And if you're not seeing this on Facebook or YouTube or on Twitter, and you're only hearing about it, you can always go to our Twitter feed at Sons of Tech EDU, and there are pictures of these items, the shirts, the stickers and whatnot that you can see. And then again, reach out to us and we can get those out to you for stickers for free. We'll get those out to you for free. T-shirts. We don't make any money off of the T-shirts. We basically sell those at cost, are very reasonable for the shirts. So definitely check those out. Reach out to us if you're interested in getting some of those, and we will get those out to you as soon as we can.
Absolutely. Well, we just want to say we appreciate everybody. And if you're listening to this the week before or a week very close to starting your in-service week or starting with class, you know, go get them. Be that amazing game-changing educator that we know that you are. If you ever need anything, please never hesitate to reach out to Kyle and I. We love listening from educators all across the world and chatting with you and getting to know you. And actually, some of my best friends are because they reached out after listening to the podcast or seeing me in a presentation and just wanted to introduce themselves, and we've talked ever since. So please, I'm always interested in meeting new friends and new colleagues. So with that, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being part of the EdTech Army and being a part of this very fun episode. I hope you have an amazing weekend, an amazing week, and an amazing 21-22 school year. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful night.